Well, good evening. It's 2024, Saturday, January 6th. We'll begin this new year continuing in Psalm 119. And in this study, we'll cover the seventh letter in the Hebrew alphabet, verses 49 through 56. And this records David seeking comfort and strength in God's faithfulness to remember his promises that he made. So in verse 49, we'll begin Zion. That's the seventh letter. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud, and that speaks of the inflated ones who hurl insults, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Now, the proud is certainly one that insults, one that demeans someone with their words. But it's even a little more. The word greatly implies that the proud came at him with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. And derision is more than just mocking someone. It's more than just making fun or bullying. But it's done with force. And it has venom that they want to discredit the person completely. So derision can include laughing and jeering, just treating someone like they're a joke, but it really is much more than just laughing. There is an evil intent and a malice there. So David said, they had me greatly. They came at me with everything. Yet have I not declined from thy law. David counted God's word as faithful. He counted God faithful to remember his word to him. And even though the proud mercilessly scorned him, David did not budge in keeping the word. And if you remember back in verse 45, he did say he would walk at liberty. He didn't back down, but that doesn't mean his way was easy, because it was far from it. You read in the Old Testament believers, they all had the enemy on their trail. But he trusted that God would remember his word to him, and that brought him comfort. It revived him so that he would continue to keep and speak God's word. God would lead him when to speak. God would lead him when not to speak. God's wisdom was with him. And I think not just Old Testament people, not just people we read about in the epistles, but, you know, our way is not always easy. There's an amen to that, I'm sure. Many times we may feel that the enemy is pouncing on our brain cells with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the scriptures tell us, they assure us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I'm not making it up. That's what it says in 1 John 4. We'll read it. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, those proud ones, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, that proclamation is not going to change. We are of God. We are his children. It is the truth from God that we can trust him. And sometimes in life, we may feel as though we're wading knee-deep through mud and going uphill. But as we remember him, we, like David, we're refreshed by believing that he, that God, in his faithfulness, is remembering all of his promises to us. Isaiah 49:15, we read it in our last study. It poses that shocking question that we read. Can a mother abandon the care of her child? And we read the answer. Yes, she can. But it goes on to say God will not forget us. And certainly David knew that. It's simple, really, when you think about it, because forgetfulness wouldn't be a part of the nature of God. He's all-knowing, all the time, everywhere present. He sees the things that man cannot see. He sees the heart, which is totally hidden on the inside of a man. He sees his intentions. So forgetfulness, how ridiculous to think that God would forget. But in David's plea for God to remember him, David is bringing to the forefront of his own mind that God is faithful. And, you know, once again, that's why this study in the lifestyle, the biblical lifestyle of remembering, can help us so much. If we don't build our hearts to remember him, then we will forget that he doesn't forget us. That results in us feeling abandoned and all alone when we need most of all to know we are remembered and not all alone. Remembering that he remembers us is, like for David, our comfort in our afflictions. Having God in our remembrance, oh, to where he is as close and dear as our own breath, is the stronghold for our comfort. Verse 52, I remembered thy judgments of old. David read the word. He knew it. He clave into the scriptures. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. You know, he read the trials and tribulations. He read the good times. He read the bad times. He read how people trusted him and were delivered. He read how people turned their backs on God and their lives were miserable failures. He remembered all that he had read. And that's how it works. To comfort ourselves by remembering God's word, that's the self-comforting and or the self-medication, as we've studied back some time ago. That is godly and holy. It revives us, restores, it reinvigorates our souls. So if you're going to get involved in self-medication through thoughts or meditation or whatever, you want to meditate upon the word, because that's where it comes from, that comfort. It's our armor. It's our spiritual weapon to stand against vicious attacks. You know, we think of our week, say at work. You know, if we trust in our abilities and efforts alone to perform our jobs, it's like putting a target on your back. No, you have to have God in that mix. You have to go to him first. You could be the most talented person in the office, but if you are not acknowledging God in all of thy ways, you tie his hands to direct your path. Or in our families, we train our children according to the word, and throughout our day, we thank God for his wisdom, his blessings for our children, and most especially for developing them. And even if we were trained up by the most amazing, awesome, believing parents, we still need God's wisdom at the center of our parenting. It's not trickle down. Every day is new. Every day is fresh. We, with God's help, can even do a more wonderful job than our parents. And that's not to boast. It's just that we're moving up. We're advancing in the Word, we become sharper. When we have the biblical lifestyle of remembering God, who is not forgetting us, even for one second, then we have the sword of the Spirit to wield at the encroaching evils that come to hinder us. Remembering His faithful presence and His love for us, it's really our most trusted spiritual weapon of choice. Remember, our weapons are not carnal, but they are spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds that would like to take us captive. In verse 53, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Now, horror, it's a word that indicates the glow from a violent heat or anger, especially of the poisons that get in the wind. And, of course, when poisons are in the wind, people are breathing them. You know, news outlets broadcast the unimaginable evil acts that take place in this world. And they do it every day. You know, we get the sound bites. They confirm what the sound bite is with images that are just beyond our belief almost. And that makes a powerful duo. And it will endeavor to penetrate our sense of well-being. Oh my God, that could happen anywhere. That could happen to me. You know, we become exhausted not from our laborers of the day, not from our hard work we do, but we get exhausted from those terrorizing, those horror-strickening concepts that try to work secretly in the back of our minds. You know, home invasions. Oh my God, let's lock all the doors. Now, it's a good policy to lock the doors, but to walk around thinking about home invasions because you've been seeing it on TV all the time, or random shots going through your house. I mean, the news outlets, they just give birth to these horrible things that we can then pick up and start to imagine and take for our own. Well, how do we handle it? What do we say to these things? Well, like Jesus, it is written. And you know, indeed, it is written. And I want to read Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. I'd like to start reading. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high, above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Can you imagine? I mean, what a great mind picture. The news outlets don't show you this. Blessings sneaking up behind you and jumping you. Well, that's going to be my mental image, that these blessings are going to come on me and overtake me if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine. And that refers to oxen that help with the farming. You know, they pull the plow. And the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket. And a basket, of course, you use to gather grains and thy store. And store refers to the kneading trough in the sense of your dough rising. You know, it's going to be a good day. You're going to gather the things that you need and everything that you make, everything that you provide within your home for your sustenance. It's going to go well. you're going to have what you need. Verse 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. You're going to be blessed. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. And that's just written in to the laws of God. Because the enemy has first arisen against God. And now he's rising up against God's people. In our case, God's children. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. You know, the name of Jesus Christ is going to scatter those guys left and right. Seven ways they're going to flee. The Lord, verse 8, shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee. And if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give thee rain in thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Verse 14, and thou shalt go not aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Do you think David read Deuteronomy? Amazing. And in 2 Corinthians 10:5, here's a powerful, it is written message for us. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, if I put this verse in an it is written form, I could say, you imagination, you high thing that is exalting yourself against the knowledge of God, you be cast down in the name of Jesus Christ. And thoughts, you will conform to the obedience of Christ. We can speak that. That's it is written. And remembering God is our daily salvation as well as our eternal life salvation. Remembering God, who is actively remembering us every second. And it will develop into such a plenteous and satisfying awareness that you are with God every moment, and every moment God is with you. His name on your lips is closer than your very breath. That's what David wanted. He wanted to be in constant communication, in constant fellowship with God. And you know, you can sit in a room with your husband or your wife or your children or a dear friend. You're not always talking, but you're aware of their presence. And then when there is something to say, you speak. So it's not like you're not doing other things through the day, but you are aware of the presence of God in your heart. Absolutely. And the closing phrase of Proverbs 3:7 says, "Depart from evil." And you know, there you go. And it is true, we cannot bury our heads deep enough in anything to be safe from hearing a soundbite here or there, or walking in an airport and catching an image on a TV screen or wherever. But we can lead every thought captive to Christ. We can take that thought that has entered our heads and deal with it right on the spot. Doesn't take but a second. Remembering God and His remembering in us will comfort us through our anxiety and deliver our thoughts from those images that may have caught us totally by surprise. And then they can't nest in our brains to fester up a problem. Verse 54, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." And, you know, as David made his way throughout the realm of where he lived, God's boundaries for him, God's boundaries that were set by His word, were his songs of praise at all times, and especially in adversity. Not just in adversity, but certainly in adversity. You know, I've experienced times when I've realized my thoughts weren't going to a good place and that I needed to turn them around. But, oh my gosh, the reality of the thoughts and the glow of heat from the experience, perhaps, just seemed too sluggish of a process. And when that happens to me, I've gotten to the place where I grab my phone, my laptop, I open up Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, something. Select a playlist that I know will sweep my thoughts up, up, and away. And I end up on higher ground every single time. The word does not fail. It does not fail. And within no time, hearing the uplifting words about God and even starting to sing along, I'm just delivered from those threatening invasions of evil imaginations. You know, listening to music or maybe a podcast or a favorite teaching or listening to the Word. There's so many ways now that you can listen to the Word be read. You know, they help redirect my attention to remembering God. And this is one way that you can depart from evil. I certainly use it often. Verse 55. "I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law." Now, in the night, it refers to the storms of life. And the night is used metaphorically because during the night it's dark. So I'm attaching a link to a song by the Christ family that Larry and I really enjoy some of their music, not every song by any means. But this one is called "Don't Look at the Storm, Keep Your Eyes on the Master." Now, they're a retired group of singers now, but they do have some songs that lend wonderful inspiration on spiritual matters. So I'll include that link for you to listen to. And that was the way for David. He didn't look at the storm. He remembered thy name, O Lord, in that dark night of the soul, if you will. And he kept the word. So we don't look at the storm. We don't look at the darkness of the night, but we look at the light of God. In verse 56, which is our last verse here, this I had because I kept thy precepts. And you know, had David not kept himself into remembering God and keeping his precepts, he wouldn't have been able to keep his eyes on God. He wouldn't have been able to trust God for his supply of all things good. You just wouldn't think about it. You go the carnal route. Well, I got to go do this. I got to go do that. Instead of putting God in the mix. David enjoyed all the comfort of God because he trusted in the word of the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he loved the word. He delighted to do it. He made a league, L-E-A-G-U-E, together with Jehovah. He remembered God, and he knew God remembered him. He anticipated that. It was his hope, and he found comfort, especially in his afflictions. So building for ourselves a biblical lifestyle of remembering our Father, remembering his nature of loving kindness, honestly, how could we miss the comfort and assurance he provides for us? The absolute greatness of our loving Father is so beyond words, but the reality of it can swell in our souls, just like that rising dough in the bowls of their store. That's right. It can just swell in our soul, and that's what counts. Each one of us has to do it for ourselves. We certainly are thankful for each and every one of you. And again, just a reminder, keeping the brethren in our prayers. And we remain thankful for our God who, without fail, remembers each and every one of us. So God bless you. Our love to all.